Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and with me is my man and podcast buddy and world-class dancer, Joe Branning. Now, I don't know if he's actually a world-class dancer. He's mentioned he's pretty good, and you can come to the denominational celebration to find out for sure. But if you want to know about more about Joe, Joe's the lead pastor at the Crosswalk Community Church, which will soon be replanted into a new neighborhood with a new name, GC Surrey Hills. Joe, how are you today, and what's good in your life besides me?
I am blessed beyond measure, my friend. And God is just good. God is just good. He keeps not just showing up, but I just find that he just continues to show off.
Show off. Is God a show off? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah.
Joe, you're right on, man. God is showing up. And we learned that in the incarnation, that he not only showed up once, but he continues to show up and show off in our lives. Thank you for that word. So in today's pod episode, I'll be interviewing church planter and pastor Howard Salter about engaging your neighborhood as a church. So, Joe, we know Jesus made the radical statement that we are to love our neighbor as he loved us. As a church pastor, how in the world does that get lived out?
You know, it's not easy. It is not easy how that gets lived out, but it takes intentionality. It takes getting out into the neighborhood and being visible, getting to know your neighbors, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through the neighborhood app, and just saying yes, just taking a step and saying yes and putting yourself out there.
Yeah, putting yourself out there is really important. I know that's something that you value. It's a core value at your church. Let me ask you this. How has your neighborhood engagement impacted the life of your church, the members of your church? What has changed there?
What I find absolutely amazing, because one of the things that has happened over the course of the last 2-3 years is as we've been engaging this neighborhood of Surrey Hills, many of our members have wanted to be a part of what's going on here. So they have started moving into this neighborhood and engaging the neighbors in this neighborhood. And one quick story is we have one of our faith venue small groups. It's a women's group, and they do it once a month, and they get together, and this woman shows up and opens up about how she's a worship leader and she does all this stuff, and it's specifically for the neighborhood of Surrey Hills. She doesn't attend our church, but she attends this small group, and so my assistant pastor, Mike Ermey, ends up telling me about this woman that her wife met, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Who knows what God is doing? Well, then I am at the bus stop dropping my kids off, and I meet a dad there. We start talking. We find out that he's the husband of this woman that was going to this small group, and then we find out that this couple lives directly behind our house. And so now we have connected on several occasions, and we've been able to talk and do all kinds of stuff. And then we have somebody else that's a member in this neighborhood that has connected with this family through their small business and the banking that is done here locally. And it's this integration that is really changing the culture of our church, because we are serving a neighborhood where we eat, sleep, play, do business, and everything. And so this one couple has had multiple contacts with people within our church, and that is just changing our church completely, bro.
I love it. I love hearing about it. You know, we talk about the 6 degrees of separation, but isn't it a much smaller world than that, especially there in Surrey Hills? So thank you for inspiring the rest of us to get out of our homes and go connect with those who live around us. So with that, let's turn our attention to my interview with Howard Salter on engaging your neighborhood.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of GC Podcast, a podcast devoted to exploring practical ministry expressions in the context of Grace Communion International and its churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the awesome privilege of interviewing a friend that I've known for a long time. His name is Howard Salter. Howard is the church planter and lead pastor of Belong Church in the College Park area of Orlando, Florida. Howard, it's great to have you on the show. Today, we're going to talk about engaging your neighborhood and engaging your neighbors, being a good neighbor, as it were. But before we get into the content and the topic of the day, how are you? And what is it that you're celebrating right now in this season of your life?
I'm actually doing very well. Thanks for having me on the show. And I think the thing that I'm celebrating, Anthony, is just you being willing to have me in your life. I think that's a big thing to celebrate.
I know. A lot of people told me I had to do this, and I pushed against it, but eventually I had to acquiesce. No, that's not true, Howard. We love having you on this episode, man. You're doing the things that we're going to be talking about here today.
Absolutely. And of course, I jest. So the thing that we're actually celebrating is being able to work full-time in the ministry that God has for us here in College Park. That's been a huge opportunity for me and for my wife, my family, as we engage our community.
Yeah. Well, we praise God for His provision and the way that He has taken care of you and your family, Howard. I've had the opportunity to visit your church, even though it's been newly formed since the fall of last year, but I visited there a couple of times. And I know engaging your neighborhood is something really important to you. So let me start out by asking, let's step back from the practical aspects of it and talk about the heart. What motivates you to get up and go connect with somebody new in your neighborhood? What's that all about?
Well, the way that I am built, if you will, my personality type is that I thrive in relationship. If you're familiar with the five voices of leadership, connector is a voice that I speak fluently in. And so for me to be fulfilling the purpose, fulfilling how I was built, is to be in relationship, creating relationships, cultivating relationships. That's very near to the person that I am. And so when I get up in the morning and I'm ready to go tackle whatever it is God has for me today, that's typically a part of that approach. Now, sometimes God's saying, hey, you don't need to go out and invest there first. First, you need to just isolate and talk with me. And then out of that, I'll grow your relationships.
You know, you talked about you being a connector, which is, as you said, a certain voice type, and God has made you in His image that way. So I'm thinking about the listener who may not be hardwired to be a connector. Could you speak on their behalf for a moment? Is engaging new people something that can be learned, and what would that look like?
Absolutely, it can be learned. I think that we can all look back on our life, whether we speak connector or whether we're extroverts or introverts, we can all look back on our life and see moments in time when other individuals had a powerful influence or other relationships had a powerful influence in our life. And if we look at God's heart through the scriptures, we can see the value of relationship, not just our relationship with Him, but our relationship with other people. And so, I mean, even if you break down the Ten Commandments, right, those first four are love God, and then the last six are love people, basically. So as we look at God's heart for how we exist and how we interact with others, we can see that relationship is very important. That's a motivating factor in and of itself. Mm. So even if you're not a connector, even if you're not somebody who's extroverted and willing to put yourself out there, so to speak, it's still the scriptures still dictate that God still built us to be in relationship. It's just those relationships might look a little different. It's hard to step out of your comfort zone and say, I'm willing to connect to someone new that I don't have investment with. But that's what we're called to, right? We're called to make disciples as we go, which implies that we have to be building those relationships.
Yeah, I appreciated the word that you gave as far as starting your day in relationship with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so let's talk about that for a moment, because it's not always natural to go out of your house into a public space and meet somebody new. I mean, for some people, that's the scariest thing they could possibly imagine. So it finds its start and its heart in the person of Jesus. So what are some of the things you ask God to share with you that give you the strength, the joy to go out and meet somebody new? What does that look like?
Well, in that quiet time, I try and put myself in, not always, but about half the time when I'm doing my quiet time, I try and put myself in a public setting while I'm doing that. And what I pray during that time is, whether I'm in a park or maybe in a coffee shop, I've got my Bible open, I've got my notebook in front of me. It's obvious that there is some study taking place. The prayer time doesn't occur there. The prayer time occurs before I go out. But then as I'm reading through the scripture and I'm praying, as I'm doing my study and praying at the close of my study, what I'm praying for is for God to create divine appointments, interruptions, if you will, where he places someone specifically in my path for me to engage with that individual, but to recognize that this individual has been placed there by God and to ask God to give me the words to speak to them to create this relationship, to engage this individual with something that would reflect that, hey, you know, God's in this. Whether they recognize it in that moment or later on, you know, that's up to God. But for me to be willing to say, Lord, interrupt me with divine appointments for people who need to hear from you, for people who need to see a healthy relationship, from people who need to understand that our call as Christians is to love and see someone who's willing to do that.
You know, you look at the ministry of Jesus. He was interrupted quite a bit, whether it's walking through a town and looking up and seeing Zacchaeus and sharing a meal with him, or whether it's the woman at the well, we see a constant interruption. And that, Howard, I don't know about you, but that's tough for me because I only want to be interrupted when I want to be interrupted. I don't know if you struggle with that. And but we know there's something pretty remarkable that can happen in the public square. I read recently there are 40 miracles in the book of Acts recorded. 39 of them take place outside the walls of the church. And that should tell us something, you know, that, of course, the church matters, gathering together, but we are gathered to be sent out. So let's talk about the role of being a good neighbor, of engaging your neighborhood, the role that plays in your church, Belong Church. How do you communicate it? And just walk us through how you make that a priority in your church.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we do is we engage in civic groups here in the neighborhood of College Park. We're members of the College Park Neighborhood Association. That's me and my family. We have a family membership there. We have not incorporated a sponsorship for our church there yet, but we are a sponsor of College Park Main Street. If you're familiar with the Main Street organization, it's a national organization that promotes economic growth in Main Street locations around the country. And so we've connected with this College Park Main Street group to the point that they've actually asked me to serve on a couple of their committees as a pastor, serving on a committee that is economically minded. To me, that's a creation of God. God actually did that. He made a way for me to be a part of these secular organizations for Belong Church to have some influence in the College Park community in a way that's recognized by not just the residents of College Park, but the businesses of College Park as well. So those are two quick ways. And then we have canceled our service, believe it or not, Sunday morning. when we had inclement things coming. So when the hurricane was nearby, when Hurricane Irma was coming and was supposedly going to be was definitely going to impact us, we actually canceled our Sunday morning service. We packed bags full of hurricane supplies and we walked through our neighborhood handing out bags of hurricane supplies in preparation for this event that was about to take place. But that's birthed out of a heart to serve a community's needs. And really, that's what it comes down to. What are the needs of the community that Belong Church can serve? And then creating an action plan to actually meet those needs. That involves a whole system of strategizing, of thinking strategically in such a way that we can effectively represent Jesus Christ as the person who meets needs.
Oh, that's good. We see Jesus meeting people at their point in need, whether it's just practically giving them food, healing, whatever the case may be. I like what you did prior to the hurricane. There may be listeners going, well, I'm in a part of the country that doesn't have hurricanes. So how can we bless our neighbors with practical needs? How do you find that kind of information out? How did you discern, Howard, as the pastor of Belong Church, what the needs of the community were and are?
That's a great question. And honestly, those needs are ever changing because the makeup of our community is ever changing. Now, that was one example. The ongoing meeting of needs is much more difficult. The hurricane is an easy thing for us. And honestly, it was a blessing in disguise that God would say, hey, here's this inclement thing. You can respond to that immediately. But the ongoing needs, that's the thing that every pastor, every body of believers struggles with. And the only thing I can say about meeting ongoing needs is you need to be connected with your community. College Park Neighborhood Association and College Park Main Street are two ways we're connected with larger organizations, but we're very active on social media. I'm always watching the events that are taking place within our community to see where are people responding. A lot of times you can see revealed through these events and the response to these events what people are so desperate for. You watch the Spring Fest event that we take part in every year, and you can see families just dying for something that integrates the whole family to work together. And so we do things like face painting, where we involve parents, where we involve the whole family in the process, not just speaking directly to the children, or we're engaging parents as children are being engaged through whatever the activity is that they're doing. You can see this need for a family focus here in College Park. And I'm not saying that that's the need that's in every location, but the way that you find that need in your location is you engage that community every chance you get. If there's an opportunity, a business night where you know, the small businesses in your neighborhood are opening up their doors for people to peruse through some coordinated event, be a part of that, whether you're sponsoring a vendor booth or whether you're just participating as an individual walking through there and meeting people, and capitalize on the opportunity that people are taking to be in public for the purpose of making connections. That's the biggest thing that I could recommend. And then through those connections, cultivate that and extract what are the things, what are the problems you're facing? What are the needs that you have within your family, within your business? And how can we help fill those with the mind of Christ to move everyone towards ultimately salvation? Hmm.
I know you, and you're a go-getter, you're a doer. God's wired you that way, and we honor that. And I'm wondering, because I'm guessing you're a pretty tightly scheduled guy. You've got a lot going on in your life. Talk to us, you know, if a pastor's listening, talk to us how you plan your day to make sure you're investing in engaging your neighborhood. Can you tell us maybe how much time you devote to this ministry throughout the week? And on top of that, what practical things do you do outside of the associations to engage throughout the week?
Those are great questions. It has to start with your personal connection to Jesus. If that time is lacking, if you're not praying, if you're not studying the word, then it's hard to have the right heart prepared to go out into the community and develop Christ-focused or Christ-centered relationships. That has to be like number one, the foundation. And I think most pastors will agree with me in that. The second thing is that you have to prioritize your scheduled items. When I build out my schedule, I want to make a plan for what I'm going to do. But I always make that plan with the Holy Spirit in mind. And I don't operate in chaos, although sometimes if you were an outside observer, you might think so. The way I operate is I build a schedule and then I say, okay, this is what I think I'm going to do if the Lord allows. And that way, when opportunities come up that reflect the heart of Christ, for example, sitting in the coffee shop to do my Bible study, if I'm picking up my things and getting ready to go and someone says, hey, I saw your Bible out, tell me, why are you doing this here? Well, that's an instant red light, you know, stop where you are and engage this person. God just answered your prayer to have that divine appointment. It doesn't always happen that way. In fact, more often than not, it does not happen that way. More often than not, when I make my schedule, I'm able to stick to what I'm doing. But the prioritization of things that come up, for example, I know we want to talk about outside the neighborhood associations, but the opportunity to be a part of that came up in the middle of my schedule. And so recognizing that this is an opportunity for biblical influence in a secular organization, I reprioritize my schedule. It's if you are so rigid in your planning, it really comes down to being able to say, okay, I know I made this plan for today, but I want to separate my plan from God's plan. And if my plan does not line up with God's plan for today, I'm willing to change what I planned in order to line up with what God planned for me today. And that could look like any number of things. We walk our dogs in a local park. We're always engaging people that we pass by. We shop locally. We spend time, when my wife and I go for date night, we go to a restaurant in our neighborhood. We don't go outside. I mean, not that we can't, but we have chosen to engage our community every chance we get, because our community, this community, God put us here for a purpose, and we want to fulfill that purpose.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of our churches in the GCI context, we call them commuter churches because people are driving in from long distances to gather on Sunday morning. However, knowing your context, you live right next door to your church building. What difference has it made for you, the pastor, and your family to have presence in the neighborhood where you serve?
It's made an incredible difference. It's allowed us to say to our community, we not only has God planted us here, but we are invested. We love College Park. Why do we love College Park? Because God said, go and serve that community. If God had said, go and serve downtown Orlando, guess what? That's where our heart would be. But this is where God placed us. And so we asked him, Father, give us a heart for the people that you placed in front of us. And what do you know? God answers prayers like that. And so we've become almost burdened for this people of College Park, that we could be engaged. And so much so, I mean, I understand that we have commuter, most of my staff commutes to church on Sunday morning. In fact, everybody but me lives outside of the College Park community. And so I understand, I get how that plays into a difficulty in engaging your community. However, you still make a choice. It was my staff who came to me and said, we should be in College Park more than just Sunday. We need to start a regular event at the park that's nearby with our staff at least once a month so that we can all engage the community the way you're engaging the community. And it was so refreshing as a pastor to hear my leadership come to me and say, "Pastor, we want to do what you're doing. We want to engage the way you're engaging with this community."
That's good. So let me paint a scenario for you. There is a church that says, "Hey, we want to have a heart for the community. We truly want to serve, and we're looking for practical first steps." If you were giving advice to that pastor, Howard, what advice would you give?
Yeah, that's the golden question, isn't it? Right? How do we as a church create that engagement, at least the first time, right? If you can show me how to do it once, then, you know, I can replicate, right? So I think the best way to engage your community is to find that event that your community responds to. And it might be difficult because I'm thinking in terms of, you know, you got urban churches and suburban churches and different community thought around where your church is meeting. So it's not like a one size fits all. And if that event doesn't exist, then talk with the people in that community. Be in the restaurant, be in a space, look for opportunities where people are prepared to engage in conversation. So for example, when I go to the post office, I'm really not going to engage someone verbally there unless they open the door for me, because that's not what the purpose of the post office is. However, if you find a small business night or something along those lines where people are showing up expecting to be in conversation with strangers, oh my gosh, jump on that opportunity. Go get involved. Start talking to people. And your questions should be like, "Hey, you know, we love being a part of this community. We're trying to find a good way to serve the community. What are the needs that you see?" Because if you engage them as if they are observing their own community, you'll find that their response becomes their personal needs-based response. But if you come at them and you say, "Hey, tell me what your needs are," they're going to put up a wall because they want to, first of all, that's being vulnerable to someone who's not earned that right. Second of all, it's an invasive question to someone who doesn't know you. So they're going to put up a wall immediately and you won't get any decent feedback. But if you engage them around the topic of the community and you ask them what needs they see in the community, you'll find that their response is reflected in their own personal situation. And so you can begin to gauge or survey, if you will, individuals that way. But the key is to do it in an environment where the individual is expecting to connect with people maybe that they don't know. And it's hard. It's hard if you're not an extroverted person. If you're that kind of middle of the road, sometimes I'm introverted, sometimes I'm extroverted. It's hard to walk into a room that you don't know people in and say, "Hey, I'm Pastor Howard with Belong Church, a new church plant here in College Park. And I was just wondering, we'd like to get involved in the community. What are the needs that you see in the community?" Obviously, I wouldn't jump right in like that. But to engage that conversation, develop a rapport, and then steer that conversation in the direction of the community, I think is so effective and so powerful.
So as a pastor of a church, which I am, you're telling me I've got to stop binge watching Netflix and get up and go do something outside in the community. Is that what you're telling me I have to do?
Well, Anthony, I don't know that there's hope for you. We can figure it out together. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
So I have to like people and stuff.
I know. I love Netflix too. However, Netflix has a place. All things in moderation, my friend.
There you go.
All things in moderation.
There you go.
And so there is a place there for that, right? There's a place. You want to bench Netflix? Create an environment, or if you've got the movie CCLI license, show a Netflix series in the park. Hey, we're going to get together and we're going to watch all of the episodes of NCIS or whatever it is, you know. Have a Netflix series in the park. Use that. You have a desire in your heart for entertainment, and God has created us for relationship. What if we took the desires in our heart that is part of who we are, which means it's part of how God created us. And we used it to connect with people that God created them the same way. How powerful could our churches be if we were able to do that?
Well, it's, you know, it's extraordinary that I'm learning this later in life. I wish I'd learned it sooner, but it was powerful, and I realized I didn't have to create more space in my busy schedule to connect and engage. It was actually just inviting people along to the stuff I'm already doing that I already see in my calendar. So when I do go to the coffee shop, do you want to come along? When I do go to the college basketball game, the local college, come along. You know, and those spaces are already created. And I think you're referring to that even with the example of Netflix. If that's something you love, just have a space where you can invite others to come and see. And do it without an agenda, being compelled by Christ's love. And so let's end our time together talking about that compelling love of Christ. You have just a personal story that for you bears witness to that compelling love of Christ that you've actually seen made manifest there in College Park you'd like to share?
You know, there are so many things that take place. I'll just use one particular story, and it's engaging with the facilities manager at the building where we meet on Sunday mornings. His name is Stacy, and Stacy has four small children, and they are fantastic kids. Stacy has been over backwards to help our church. He is an individual here in College Park that we have been able to connect with consistently because of our relationship on Sunday morning. And so through that relationship, we got to know Stacy's kids. And one day while we're setting up for church, Stacy's oldest daughter is spending time with my youngest daughters because they're about the same age. And she shares the fact that they've been trying to win tickets on the radio to see a concert that was coming up, a Christian concert for King and Country. And at the time, I was still working with the radio station here locally, and I reached out to our promotions manager and said, hey, this guy has been phenomenal in our journey to plant our church. I would really like to give him the tickets that you have set aside for us. I'd like to give them to him. Can we put them in his name? And long story short, we were able to make the tickets available for him and his family. But that's not the beautiful part of it. The beautiful part of it is when we revealed that to him, he made a plan to bless his kids. So he didn't tell them that they were going to the concert. They continued to try and win tickets. And of course, they never did. And so he took them out the day of the concert, and we met at the arena with him. And they were like, what are you doing here? Why are we here at this arena? They had no idea what was going on. And so he shared with them in front of us that we had given them tickets and they were going to be able to see the concert. And it makes me emotional still, because the response is the response that we see from people when we display the heart of Christ to love them. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to buy concert tickets for everybody? No. But this little girl had a dream in her heart. And she was praying about it. She shared with us she was praying about it. And we heard her request and were able to be the hands and feet of Jesus by filling that request. And in her mind, God gave her tickets to see this concert. You cannot build faith in a child greater than to have them recognize God's work in their life. And so watching this take place was to be the conduit for God to fill this prayer request for this little girl. I think I was blessed far beyond what she was blessed in just being able to see the concert, but I know that event had a tremendous impact on her life and on the life of that family. Stacy got to surprise his daughter with this thing that she had been praying for. And you can see in his eyes the emotion that he was experiencing as he was revealing this thing and she was reacting. And it was this beautiful moment that we were able to be a part of because we were willing to be present in the relationship and follow God.
Mm. Well, brother, continue to be present to the neighborhood of College Park. We're grateful for you, your heart for all of God's children, and the way that you're inviting them in to experience His love. It's an exciting time for Belong Church and for you and Becky and your family. We're really proud of the work you're doing. And we have a tradition here on GC Podcast. If you're going to allow me, I'd like to put you on the spot. And as we wrap up, ask you some questions, some shotgun questions, and you just give me the first thing, the first phrase, word that pops into your mind. Are you willing to play along, Howard? Because you don't want to back down here. Man up and do it, okay? So I'm not even going to give you a chance to get out. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, favorite color?
Red.
Favorite snack food?
Oh, man. That's like asking me to pick my favorite kid.
You put them on the same level, Howard? Oh, my. Snack food and kids are equal? Wait till your kids find out. Okay, bucket list country you want to visit?
Iraq.
Hmm. All-time favorite movie, and don't get this wrong.
Again, it's like trying to pick a kid. You can't ask me to pick a favorite movie. It depends on the day. I'm going to go with Return of the Jedi.
All right. You actually won 10 extra points for that answer. One word to describe Jesus.
Love.
Yeah. And if you had one, a nickname you had as a kid.
I will plead the fifth to answering that. Actually, so the nickname I got the most was Howard Cosell.
Oh, that's old school sports, man. I wish I could go ahead.
I kind of revealed my age with that, right?
That's so, right. Well, you don't look a year over 58, so don't worry about it. And I know you're in your 40s. So, Howard, as a way of just wrapping up, I'm going to invite you to say a word of prayer over our churches and pastors, especially as they engage their own contextual neighborhood. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Thanks, brother.
Lord, I pray for each person that's hearing this podcast, each ministry that they represent. I pray for your will to be done in each one of those ministries, but not just to be executed coldly, but I pray that they will find a way to engage with you where you're working in those neighborhoods and in those communities. As Anthony had said earlier, Lord, we know that you're already working in these places, and it's your invitation to us to join you in that work. And so, Father, I pray that you will make that invitation clear to every listener to this podcast, that ministries would become more effective and amplified divinely by our willingness to follow you in ministry into places that are near to us, into places where you would have us do the work that needs to be done, whether that's just providing concert tickets or whether it's bringing food to a family who doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from, or a tent to someone who has no roof over their head. Father, I pray that you would open doors supernaturally so that no one could argue, so that these individuals who are engaging in ministry with you can look back at a specific moment in time and say, this could only have been God. Father, I pray that your name and your kingdom would be glorified through all of these things, that you would be the reason why people are thankful, and that as these ministries grow, that we would recognize that it's only because of our willingness to get out of the way and allow you to lead that we're able to be effective in our ministry. Father, I pray that engagement would take place all around the world, not just in the United States, but it would happen everywhere so that we could be effective forces for change in places where the dark seems like it has a stronghold, Father, that we would just light it up with your light. Lord, I pray that your Son, Jesus Christ, would engage with us on a daily basis to make divine appointments. And then, Father, allow us to recognize the role of the Holy Spirit as He confirms what you're doing in our ministries and in our life. Thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Joe Howard has some pretty important things to say. What captured your attention?
Well, besides the fact that he razzed you really good, I really enjoyed that part of it. probably the thing that stood out to me, and I couldn't agree with him more, is too often we, as pastors and as a church, we want to find the needs of our community. And so we keep asking ourselves internally, what are the needs? What are the needs? What are the needs? And having all these meetings of trying to figure out what the needs are. And Howard says, the way to find a need in your community is to get into the neighborhood, be a part of community events, have discussions. And this is what stood out the most. Be in public. I can't say it enough. You have got to get outside of those four walls of your church and get out into the community and engage with other people.
And once again, my Netflix watching takes a hit. Thanks for that, Joe. But you're absolutely right. You've got to be present and flesh it out. You know, be present in the neighborhood. My friends, a listening audience, we so appreciate the fact that you are willing to take time out of your busy schedule to listen to us today. I hope you like what you heard. And if you did, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It just takes a moment to do so, but it makes such a big difference because it really does help us get the word out and for others to join into the conversation. So until next time, my friends, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.